K-E-L-L-O-Good Kellogg's Best to You. Well, Kellogg's Best to You is apparently not good enough for some, as they are staging Earth Day honkin' wave protests across America to publicize their boycott of Kellogg's cereals. All that honking and waving lead us to ask, why boycott Kellogg's?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 916th edition of the Food Chain Radio program right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our fans way down there in Wanaka who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Dave Michaels on the boards. Hello, Dave.
Glad to be here.
And also producer Kelly Bayer on the stories. Hello, Kelly.
Hello, Michael.
Folks, having spent nearly $800,000 to defeat California's Proposition 37 GMO labeling initiative, the Kellogg's Corporation has positioned itself firmly in opposition to those who would like to know about the GMOs in Kellogg's breakfast cereals. As a consequence, Kellogg's now finds itself the object of a cereal boycott by GMO-Free USA and friends. When I asked Kellogg's to join us on the Food Chain Radio Show to discuss the GMO-Free USA-led boycott of their breakfast cereals, Kellogg's responded in a nice public relations sort of way that everyone should just go out and eat Kashi. Now, what Kellogg's is telling us, of course, is that it provides the marketplace with a line of cereals that are organic, and that if it's organic that customers want, then it's organic they can get with Kellogg's Kashi cereals. Well, that's a good point. If people want organic cereals, Kellogg's will sell them organic cereals. If people want GMO cereals, Kellogg's will sell them GMO cereals. But Kellogg's "can't we all just get along" reasoning does not seem to be resonating with the folks at GMO-Free USA. As they are staging over 70 Earth Day honkin' wave protests across the USA to publicize their boycott of Kellogg's cereals. Now, all that honking and waving going on leads us to ask, why boycott Kellogg's cereals? Well, here to help us find an answer, we have Diana Reeves, who is, I believe, the founder of GMO-Free USA. Diana, welcome.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you for having me on today.
Well, I'm really happy to have you on. I tried to get Kellogg's to join us, but they didn't want to have anything to do with Diana Reeves. They're afraid of you, and they're hiding in the bushes.
Well, that might be good news.
So
I'm actually going to be in Battle Creek, Michigan for a rally on Earth Day, and I've been told by them that they are very happy to receive a petition and that I can bring it on into them, but their CEO is unavailable to meet with me. I had to request a meeting.
Okay, and that's the way it goes often, I suppose. Now, first of all, let's tell us a little bit about GMO-Free USA.
GMO-Free USA is a grassroots consumer group of people who have spoken up and understand what GMOs are and don't want to eat them. And we have come together all across the country and are trying to raise awareness as well as do a targeted, focused national boycott of a major food manufacturer because we believe that consumer rejection is the best way to get GMOs out of our food. We've had no luck with the government, the FDA. It's not interested, even though we received a petition with 1.2 million signatures, and our state governments aren't being allowed to do their job because they're being bullied by corporations and also by our federal government. So we decided to take matters into our own hands.
And mighty capable hands, it sounds like to me. So I sense there's a take no prisoners kind of thing going on here. You're not really interested in sitting down with Kellogg's, are you, and talking to them about how we can all just get along here?
Well, I am actually interested in talking to them because what I would like to make perfectly clear is that There are hundreds of thousands of moms and dads and families across the country who want GMOs out of our food, and we don't care what the FDA says. We want them out.
So when you say out, there's not much room for just getting along here, is there? Let's just get this stuff out of here, and that's that.
That's it.
Well, okay, good. Now, I always ask guests on the Food Chain Radio program, who pays the way? So something tells me that you're not getting a grant from the Kellogg's Corporation.
No, we are totally unfunded. It's totally bootstrap grassroots. You know, it's everybody pitching in, volunteering, and doing what they believe in.
Okay, fair enough. Now, tell us a little bit about Diana Reeves, because as the founder of this, and chief spokesperson, you're the gal.
Well, my background is maybe slightly different than most. I lost my first child to cancer. And when you have a child in your arms, it changes the world. Everything changes. Your outlook on life totally shifts. And I am very, very hypersensitive now to anybody who puts children at risk. And I see Kellogg's doing that, which is the reason that they were chosen as our first boycott. Feeding genetically modified things to children that really haven't been tested and proven safe, when actually quite the contrary, the studies now showing that this is dangerous stuff, it's just not acceptable. And there's no negotiating.
Yeah, so having lost your first child, you have become very sensitive to what we feed our children. And there you go. I guess that would make anybody pretty sensitive. Now you've got over 70 honking waves going on across the country. What is a honking wave anyway?
A honking wave is actually a fun way to spread the word. There are people standing, near grocery stores on public sidewalks with posters, like the one on the left that says, boycott Kellogg's, pesticides in every bite as well as all their products, because that's the truth. And so everyone's out there just smiling and waving and asking people to honk and thumbs up, and it's all very positive. To educate people, handouts that are being distributed, to people who don't know what GMOs are, and, just a really positive experience trying to reach out to people and let them know that Kellogg's products really aren't healthy.
Well, okay, and you have a lot of other affiliated organizations, I see, as well as GMO-Free USA. I mean, there's a lot of other organizations joining in with you on this boycott of Kellogg cereals.
There are many state initiatives, that are working at the state level that are also on board, because really labeling is the first step, and the step, to follow that is let the market decide. And once it's on the label, people will be able to say, no, I don't want to eat that, and they'll be able to avoid it. Whereas right now, you don't know what you're eating.
So we don't know what we're eating. Well, when I called Kellogg's and said, hey, let's sit down and talk like responsible adults, you have a position, and GMO-Free USA has a position. Let's sit down and talk this through. And their comment, of course, is, why don't you just go eat Kashi? Well, Diana, why don't you just go eat Kashi?
There are a lot of reasons that that's not the answer. First of all, not all of Kashi's products are actually free of GMOs. Many of them are produced, all the ones that aren't labeled organic or non-GMO project verified, they're all produced with genetically modified ingredients. And so they're equally as unappealing as the rest of Kellogg's products. The other reasons that's not the answer is we need to stop the genetic contamination of our food supply. And buying organic is just not the answer, because you can't not control pollinators, and you cannot control pollinators that are spreading these genes throughout our food supply. I've heard that there are samples of corn which are being tested for GMO contamination at levels as high as 20 to 30%. And those are organic and non-GMO samples. I spoke to someone in Nevada 2 nights ago, and she told me one of the farmers, their organic seed that they are about to plant to a lab for testing, and found that it was contaminated to the tune of 30% GMO, and that is disturbing.
So what may be organic, what is labeled as organic, really may not be organic, and we simply have no way of knowing. Well, I have a confession.
And the other problem is, I'm sorry, I just wanted to also add, the other problem is that if we don't stop the bleeding, there will be no organic enough to buy. So, yeah, sorry about that.
Well, as we go through this program today, I'm going to ask you a question. Diana Reeves, founder of GMO Free USA. I'm going to be speaking in a couple days in Chicago at the Bio International Convention. I guess it's all of the biotech people from around the world getting together, and the U.S. Farmer and Rancher Alliance is going to have a food dialogues there. In the audience, I am told, is a good likelihood that the president of Monsanto Corporation will be there. So as we go through this show, I'd like you to think about what you would like to tell the president of Monsanto and the other biotech folks about their use of GMOs in our food, and like you think, you know, what would you tell them? Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio program. What would you tell them? Michael Olson here, your host for today, with Diana Reeves, GMO Free USA, 831-479-1080. Do call us.
Get this. You can earn a 5, 6, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city. You can be old or young, rich or poor, married or single. You can rent, lease, or own. You can farm small fruits on prairie bench lands, houseplants in coastal valleys, flowers on steep wooded hillsides, vegetables in city green belts, ornamentals in neighborhoods of million-dollar homes. There's only one catch. You must compete with other farmers for the consumer dollars. You can compete with others and win the consumer dollars with the help of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for profit in or near the city. MetroFarm is the Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner that will guide you step by step through the planning and development of your very own income-generating metropolitan farm. Abraham Lincoln said the greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living on a small parcel of land. Get in on the future today. Get a copy of MetroFarm at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, welcome back. This is the Food Chain Radio program. My goodness, what's in the cereal? Look at all the cereal Kellogg's has. Crunchy Nut, Fiber Plus, Frosted Flakes, Rice Krispies, Special K, and on and on and on and on. You know, I guess if there's any American corporation that's iconic of the American way, it would be Kellogg's. And a company I always thought highly of, but some aren't thinking so highly of it. One of them being GMO Free USA, who's leading a boycott of Kellogg's cereals. And so we're taking a look at this, and we're asking, why boycott Kellogg's, this most of iconic of American corporations? So, you know, when we talked with Kellogg's, what they seem to say is that we can't really control the genetics of our crops, of the crops that we put in our cereals anymore. They're pollinated by the wind, and there's cross-contamination, so just live with it, kind of. That seems to be their message. Diana Reeves, is that what you're hearing?
Pretty much, I guess it is. Yeah, they've changed their story. Just about every time you call, you get a different answer when you ask them about GMOs and their products. So I think, you know, by not stepping up and answering our requests, they're just saying live with it.
Well, that seems to be it. And furthermore, we're making Kashi organic cereals, and why don't you live with that? You know, when I said, well, okay, that's a good question. And so I started looking around at Kashi, and I noticed that the Kashi is being sued by a number of organizations, not the least of which is the Cornucopia Institute, which recently tested Kashi's Go Lean cereals and found it to contain 100% GMO soy. So, and furthermore, they're being sued for using the all-natural label in spite of using GMOs. So I guess it's Kashi isn't all that organic to start with, or is it? What do you think?
I think it's a marketing ploy to charge a higher price for a product that's inferior quality.
So you're out to get Kellogg's cereals out of the business of putting GMOs in their cereal.
Yes, I am. It is a mission, and we won't stop. The country is really coming together. We won't stop until they do.
What gives you so much courage after seeing California, after seeing Proposition 37 lose in California?
I think the way it happened in Europe is where I'm getting the courage from. They did have help. They had Friends of the Earth and Greenpeace that were spreading the word and educating people about GMOs and the dangers. And I know Greenpeace did try briefly, albeit in the U.S. They had a campaign at one point, which actually was Kellogg's, and they had a poster which had a picture of an ear of corn, and I think it was called Frankencorn. And it was directed toward getting Kellogg's to stop using GMOs, and it didn't get any traction. So I think after, you know, striking out with the FDA and striking out, or coming close to striking out, we'll see what happens in Connecticut this year. It's too soon to tell. But the governor is not really on board yet, so I think it's unlikely. We'll see what happens. But having all said all of that, the consumer rejection in Europe is what took the GMOs out or kept them out. And I think we need to mobilize in the U.S. as well. And it's much easier to focus on one company at a time than to try and rally everyone to boycott everything that has GMOs in it, because it's just overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. And Kellogg's being kind of like a sitting duck when it gets right down to it. I mean, if you're going to boycott anybody, Kellogg's is kind of in a vulnerable position, because it's selling breakfast cereals to mothers who feed their children this stuff. And there they are. That being said, why not just let Kellogg's go, and why not let people buy, you know, GMO laden cereal for their children? It's an open free market, right?
It is, but people don't know what they're eating. And what really disturbs me is people who don't have enough money to buy organic and don't have the ability to avoid these cereals, because it's basically all they can afford to put on their breakfast table. They either don't know or they don't have the ability to do anything about it. And to me, that's a problem. It's wrong to force people to eat something, you know, against their without their knowledge and without their consent. So I believe that the general population has the right to GMO-free food, and Kellogg's is probably, you know, the best place to start.
Mm-hmm.
Their products abroad don't contain GMOs. They don't sell GMOs in Europe. So why not here?
Now, tell us about Kellogg's in Europe.
Kellogg's in Europe sells primarily the same products as they do here.
So you can still get rice. You can still get Kellogg's Rice Krispies in Europe. But there's a difference, isn't there?
The difference is in the ingredients. There's no GMO sugar in Kellogg's Rice Krispies abroad. There's no GMOs, because if there were, they would need to label it if it contained as tiny an amount as 0.9% genetically modified ingredients. And they don't want that on the label, so they don't use GMOs.
So Kellogg's, in effect, is acceding to the wishes of the consumers in Europe, but essentially seems to be trying to force their will upon the consumers here, or am I reading that wrong?
No, I believe you're right.
Then, wow, that's interesting. So, if they can do it, if they can provide the GMO-free foods in Europe, why aren't they doing it here? It would seem like they could do two kinds, couldn't they?
They certainly could. If you wanted to eat GMOs and it was on the label, you could just keep right on eating them.
Hey, but they're not going to go there, are they?
No, it doesn't seem like it. Not just yet, but we're not going to give up.
So, Diana Reeves, I'm still trying to come to grips, you know, with this notion that I'm going to be on a panel, and then we're going to be sitting in a big auditorium, McCormick Place in Chicago, and in the audience are going to be these biotech people. You know, I'm told that likelihood is good that the president of Monsanto will be there. And so what would you tell him is wrong with GMOs in the food?
There's such a long list of things. I think maybe one of the places to start with him is, he and his company claim that people who are against GMOs are anti-science. Well, actually, Monsanto is anti-science, because they will not allow independent testing on any of their patented food-like substances. And that is a big problem, especially since the testing that they conduct prior to market is a 90-day test, which is a short-term test. And effectively what they're doing is using tobacco science and experimenting on the human race with all of the chemicals that they are putting into our food, and that's not acceptable. So
that's a very interesting point, and I think that we could probably help the audience by kind of fleshing that out a little bit. When you say that Monsanto will not allow for third-party research, what exactly do you mean?
They hold the patents on these food-like substances, is what I like to call them. So they're genetically modified corn. They pretty much control the independent tests that are done on that product because they either discredit anyone who comes out and does a study, or I imagine they can sue them. So there's so much pressure on the scientific community not to speak out against them. There was a study done in Europe by a scientist called Arpad Pusztai, and I guess he was given the task of doing a peer-reviewed scientific study that determined whether the process of genetic engineering was safe, as well as whether the chemical usage associated with genetic engineering is safe. And his results were quite devastating in terms of safety. There were many, many problems found. And so he was a hero in Europe for about 24 hours until the pressure was put on and he was actually discredited and fired and his career ended. So that's the kind of tactics that are being used against independent science.
So if Diana Reeves and Michael Olson decided to do a test on the efficacy of GMO corn, we'd be in big trouble, wouldn't we?
I think we would be, especially because a lot of the research, I mean, a significant amount of the research that's being funded at universities around, you know, is...
Hold that thought. Folks, 831-479-1080, 800-624-2665. Diana Reeves and you, right back. Well, folks, why boycott Kellogg's cereals? That iconic of all American corporations, Kellogg's. You know, you can buy GMO-free Kellogg's corn or Rice Krispies in Europe, but not here in the United States. And so that's kind of a head-scratcher. Why is that? And why is it that we are afraid of GMOs, some of us at least, to the extent that we're willing to boycott Kellogg's, which has GMOs in their cereals? How much GMOs do they have in their cereals, or how many cereals do they have? Diana Reeves, do we know?
That's a very interesting question, and we wanted to know the answer to that. So the GMO for USA community did a little fundraiser and actually sent a sample of Kellogg's cereal. We chose Fruit Loops because it's the number three marketed cereal to children. We sent a sample to a lab and had it tested, and we tested the corn content as well as the soy, and both of them came back 100% GMO. We didn't test the sugar, but I suspect it would have been the same answer.
And when you take the corn and the soy and the sugar out of Fruit Loops, what do you have left? Artificial coloring, right?
Exactly.
Wow. So there it is. So do we know whether these things are harmful to us or not? You know, we were talking before the break about the studies and the manner in which these biotech companies control the studies. And one of the questions I'm going to be faced when I go to the food dialogues in Chicago is the question of scientific studies. The biotech industry is going to say, we have all of these studies that say GMOs are okay to eat. We've been eating them for years and nobody's falling over dead. So what's the problem? Well, what is the problem, Diana?
I would be so happy to answer that question. I have four members of my family out of five that have autoimmune disease. We were all diagnosed around the same period of time, and we know that food triggers our autoimmune disease. We have celiac disease as well as Hashimoto's, which is autoimmune hypothyroidism. And we have had specific experiences with specific ingredients, which definitely, 100% certainly tell us that we have problems with GMOs. I'll give you an example of my latest experience. For the last, we've been GMO-free in our house for, you know, as best we can do it for, you know, a long while because we need to be for health reasons. And over the last 8 months or so, I have been not feeling well. And when I say not feeling well, my body temperature was subnormal. It was 96.2 to 97. I had trouble getting out of bed in the morning. I had horrible, horrible fatigue, a chronic fatigue, I guess is what the doctor called it. They could not figure out what was wrong with me. And I tried everything in terms of diet modification, vitamins, tests, the whole nine yards, could not figure it out. Finally, I did a fine-tooth comb examination of my supplements and my vitamins, and I found that I was taking a vitamin made by Country Life Vitamins, which is a calcium supplement, calcium with magnesium and vitamin D. I called them and found out that they are sourcing the calcium citrate in that product from GMO corn. I removed that from my diet. I also found out that Nordic Naturals Ultimate Omega Fish Oil has traces of GMO soy in it. I removed that from my diet.
How would they get GMO soy in fish?
Fish oil. I don't know. Honestly don't know, but it's in there. And after removing those, within 3 weeks, my body had a miraculous recovery. And that's the only change, and that's the only thing that actually was able to have a positive effect on my health after having tried many, many, many other things. So I know that I specifically react to GMO corn and GMO soy. And if I touch a newspaper that's printed with GMO soy ink, within 12 hours, I get a blistery rash on my face and now on my head. So reaching into my mailbox has become a dangerous undertaking if I don't look first.
Goodness, girl.
I know. I've had to cancel my newspaper subscription, but I do end up having things in there that, you know, I haven't asked for.
Now, you know, I'm sure, you know, skeptics in the biotech industry would say, you know, there's no scientific proof that these things, that these maladies that you suffer from are caused by GMOs. They could be psychosomatic. You could be dreaming them up yourself. How would you respond to that?
That's not physically possible. I know I've seen many doctors, and they will, you know, attest to what I've been through. I went to a Chinese doctor who was a third-generation herbalist when conventional medicine couldn't help, and he has seen a major change in my body since I removed the GMOs, so in my vitamins, and they're just trace amounts. So I'm very sensitive to them, and I know I'm not alone because there are many people in the GMO-free USA community. There's one who, if she's exposed to GMO canola, and it's only specifically GMO canola, so she can prove it time and time again. She gets a horrible, horrible rash all over her body.
And there you are. And so you're standing up and saying that we have to get these things out. Now, I'm curious about the relationship with children. You know, I was asking engineer Dave Michaels if he's feeding his children cereal this morning, and he's saying that they're home eating cereal. How do you come to grips with telling parents about GMOs that don't know about it? I mean, if you're part of a community of, you know, GMO-free USA, everybody's going to be finely tuned in to your position. But what if you're not? What if you're just somebody out there who's going to the grocery store and they see a box of cheap food? Then, how do you talk with them? How do you talk with somebody who doesn't know or doesn't have a clue?
That is one of the things that the group is doing, and it's, you know, reaching out to try and educate people. And we find that maybe sometimes the first time you speak to someone about GMOs who hasn't heard about it, they turn their nose up and they say, oh, that's not a credible problem. We don't believe that. You sound like you're a conspiracy theorist. How could that be? The FDA protects us. But then they hear more and they hear more. And if they watch a movie called Genetic Roulette, they learn an awful lot about the process of genetic engineering and the chemicals that are associated with GMOs. And they start to wake up. It's a gradual process. It quite often takes, you know, more than one exposure to the concept before people wake up and understand the situation. But it does happen. My neighbor, who her son ate Frosted Flakes for breakfast every morning, when I first told her, she said, no. And now he eats organic cereal. So
Is it possible to have a GMO-free diet here in the United States? What on earth do you eat?
It's a challenge. Primarily whole foods.
Which is to say?
Very, very few processed foods. And there's a lot of cooking involved.
Mm-hmm. So because they're whole foods, then you have to cook them. You can't. Just about everything that's processed has soy lecithin in it, right? I mean, everything.
Yes, but there are many, many more products now coming into the non-GMO project verification process. And there's a label that has a little butterfly on it, and it says non-GMO project verified. And any product that has that label on it has been tested and is GMO-free and safe to eat. I believe the threshold is also 0.9% GMO ingredients.
Well, okay, we're going to take a quick break, but we're going to open up the phone lines to callers today. The phone number 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Do you think we should be boycotting Kellogg's Corporation for its use of GMOs in its breakfast cereals? I mean, after all, the Kellogg's Corporation offers an alternative. Isn't that good enough? Or is it? What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Michael Olson with Diana Reeves and you right back. Well, folks, I'm heading to Chicago. Bio International 2013, going to participate in the food dialogues put on by the United States Farmer and Rancher Alliance. Getting a media together with the biotech industry and saying, well, where are we? What's going on? And I'm told that the president of Monsanto will likely be in the audience. So what the heck should we say to him about how we think of GMOs in Kellogg's breakfast cereal, for one thing? And Diana, what should we tell him about the GMOs in Kellogg's breakfast cereals?
I think we should tell him that children and other human beings should not be eating pesticides. And it's not prudent to put pesticides in our food. And their BT corn is actually an EPA-registered pesticide, because every time a rootworm bites into the corn, its stomach explodes. And as Vandana Shiva says, inserting toxic genes into our food is just plain stupid. And I would also tell them that people should not be eating Roundup. It's not fit for human consumption. And when they spray Roundup on these Roundup-ready GMO crops, it is systemically absorbed into the plant and ends up in our food. And I would also tell him that it's not acceptable that the level of residue on our food has been increased incrementally to accommodate the fact that they're spraying it with Roundup to a level that is absolutely unsafe. It was the residue allowable on corn was 0.1 parts per million prior to GMOs, and they've managed to increase that up to 13 parts per million now as an acceptable level of residue, and they've proven at a level of 0.1 part per million it's toxic.
Well, I'm going to toss you a real tough one here, Diana Reeves, founder of GMO Free USA. Why don't you sit in the chair of the president of Monsanto and answer Diana Reeves? What would you say, were you the president of Monsanto, to Diana Reeves?
Well, that's an easy one. They never tell the truth, so he would just make up some propaganda story as a response, because that's what they always do, and that's what they did when they contributed $8 million plus to the propaganda campaign in California. They would say, oh, labeling is going to cost the consumer money, which is not true, because we've done a study on the cost of products that are an identical product. We did cornflakes around the world, and it's actually cheaper in many places, and it's labeled.
So you don't think he would come be straight with you then?
I do not. I know he would not be straight with me, because it's all about greed and it's all about controlling our food supply. That's where they're coming from.
Doesn't it seem reasonable, though, that the Kellogg's Corporation would want to please you?
It does, but unfortunately, they're in a little bit of a corner. I know they didn't ask to be put in this corner because there are a lot of political reasons that we are at this point. But it's time for them to put on their big boy pants and stand up and say, this is failed technology. We need to get it out of our food.
Is part of the reason you're picking on Kellogg's that they spent $800,000 to defeat California's Prop 37? I mean,
yes, it is,
isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're going to go to the phones right now, folks. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. We're going to pick up Elizabeth, who's tuning in from Silver Springs, Maryland. Elizabeth, welcome to the Food Chain.
Hi, Michael.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, well, thank you. As I was listening about what's happened in Europe, I thought that they had, you know, held out valiantly for several decades in resisting GMOs. But last year, and I'm sorry I couldn't find it, I read an article, and I think it was the second one, but because the GMO protesters had gone in surrounded fields, and sometimes they were tearing them up and things that the universities and the governments, because they're always hand in hand, right, and with mm-hmm. the corporations, they had decided that the poor little people were just still too backward to understand this advanced technology, and they were going to just have to do test sites in secret. And I have here one. This is from Independent Health EU, saying very same thing. I couldn't find the one that I read last year.
So what they're doing then is in responding to consumers' concern, they're hiding in the bushes.
Exactly. They're just not going to announce these things anymore. And there was something. This one that I have that I found this morning was May 30th, 2011, where the University of Ghent was in Belgium testing modified plants with the permission of the Belgian government. And of course, the Belgian government knows what people feel about, GMOs. But, and a few days later, a scientist of another university, KUL, was fired just for explaining the motives of the action to the press. And this triggered a new protest action and petition against these university measures.
Hey, Elizabeth, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Why are you against the GMOs?
Well, there was a scientist who in the very beginning had done research, and he was doing it for the industry, and when he found that the animals were dying, he said, stop, this is terrible. And he was destroyed. And then I don't understand where there's no research, because, what do they count? The cattle in India that, the farmers turned out to graze as they'd always done.
So you're not trusting
the stocks of the field, and the cattle died. What is that, anecdotal evidence? What more evidence do you need?
Elizabeth, thank you for speaking up on the Food Chain. Really appreciate it. And there goes Elizabeth from Silver Springs, Maryland. We're going to pick up Rory, who's out in the fields. And if anybody knows about crops in the fields, it's Rory. So do stay tuned for that right in the back. Hey, we're back. Why boycott Kellogg's Corn Company? Gosh, the most iconic of American corporations. This one feeds our children, and yet we have mothers who are talking about boycotting the Kellogg's brand cereals because they contain GMOs, and Kellogg's does not appear to be willing to come to grips with that fact with respect to those consumers who don't want it. But they do in Europe. So this is kind of a strange thing. Diana Reeves, GMO Free USA, how successful do you think you can be with boycotting Kellogg's company? Do you think you can force that great American corporation to back out of GMOs?
I think there is a tipping point, and I think we can reach it because we are out on the streets now educating people, and when Kellogg's feels the pain in their bottom line, they're going to have no choice.
Well, let's ask Rory what he thinks about GMOs out there in the field, Rory.
Well, a lot of concern, a lot of questions I'd like to ask your guests. Are you aware of the article that was just published in the Journal of Entropy by Anthony Samsel?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and that's you might want to talk about it. It's a little complex, but the bottom line is there's some evidence that glyphosate is interfering with CYP enzyme, which is used in our gut to detox foreign biotics that get into our food. And this was just published on the 18th, so it's very current.
Yeah, Dr. Don Huber sent that article to me. That means that I'm probably poisoned in the eyes of the scientific community because Dr. Don Huber does not quite see things the Monsanto way.
This is published. I mean, this was written by Anthony Samsel and Stephanie Seneff. So check it out. It was published on the 18th.
In Entropy.
I was just looking at the abstract. It says that here, this is their abstract. Here we show how interference with the CYP enzymes acts synergistically with the disruption of the biosynthesis of aromatic amino acid by gut bacteria.
Now, do you think they could put that in Frosted Flakes? I'm not sure.
Well, it's there. It's there. The negative impact on the body is insidious and manifests slowly over time as inflammation damages cellular systems throughout the body.
Diana, it sounds like kind of the stuff that you're going through. Thank you, Rory.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rory, for sharing that. Yes, it is what I'm going through.
Jan, what do you have to say?
Well, I want to thank her for her effort. I think this is fantastic because, you know, with the contamination of our seeds and the sicknesses that are going on, I think through education, eventually we'll be able to get this across to these companies that it's smarter to spend $800,000 on getting this stuff out of our system and giving us what we want.
Well, so why isn't Kellogg's spending $800,000 to get the GMOs out of their cereal, Diana Reeves?
Why isn't? I'm not exactly sure. I think it's just a lot of corporate pressure, and I think we just have to get to a tipping point of consumer rejection, and at that point, they'll get it.
And so you're out there on the streets across America, banging on drums and holding up signs, and people are honking at you, and you're waving back at them, and that's how you're going to alert the world that you're boycotting Kellogg's cereals.
That's right. That's what we're going to keep doing until Kellogg's takes the GMOs out.
There you go. Thank you very much, Diana Reeves, and thank you all for tuning in. Remember, out there, cheap food isn't.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.